Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Walden. My guest today is Paolo Bartoloni, who is the owner of Lecimate. And Lecimate is a winery in the Montefalco region of Umbria in central Italy. Paolo, welcome.
Thank you. I'm very happy to stay here with you and to describe my winery and my job.
I'll give you three words. Just give it in three words and we can finish the interview.
No. We start about the name. The name of Lecimate, because it's very strange for the foreign people, because can mean the climate. Some people confuse with the climate, while it's not. Lecimate means the top of a hill, because we are situated on the top, in this beautiful hill near Montefalco. The property comes from the Vatican City.
Really?
Yeah. My grandfather bought the land in 1992, 28 hectares. Come from church, and then become private property in 92, of course. And in this period, my grandfather started to plant the vineyard, 11 hectares, and we grew up a little bit per year, and now we have 23 hectares in production, 17 production and 6 very new, just planted in March.
And what was your grandfather called?
Paolo. Mm-hmm. Bartoloni.
And your dad?
Gianni
Paolo.
Giovanni Paolo II. Okay. The old Pope.
Okay. All right, we can talk about the church. So really it was church land, your vineyard.
Yeah.
Was it well maintained?
A little piece of land was called Santa Chiara. Santa Chiara is the saint of the Montefalco. Okay. So we have this appellation in our land. We are very happy.
Have you got one of the highest vineyards here then? How high is that?
400 meters. Montefalco, 440 meters. Montefalco town. So I am one of the top hill around here, because in our land we have also the mountain. My soil is clay, and so we can preserve the water, because we cannot irrigation. We cannot help in our area for the legislation, the Sagrantino grape. So if we have the clay soil, we can have more water during the summer.
How easy is Sagrantino to grow? Is it easy in the vineyard? Is it very vigorous? Is it?
Not too much. Not too much, because we have 7 tons per hectare normally.
But do you reduce the yield at pruning? Or is it just natural?
In some vintages, yes. Not this year, because this year and made by nature.
Frost.
With the frost and the dry summer, we lose 40-45% of the product. Sagrantino, normally 7 tons per hectare, this year 4.
When we say this year, we're talking about 2017.
17 was amazing about the power, the sweetie of tannin.
So it was quite right, the tannins were quite right.
Yes, absolutely. With the 15... with the 12 is one of the most rounded tannin.
So all hot vintages, 12, 15 and 17.
While the other vintages is quite a bit different, with more difficult about too much water.
So what about winemaking? When you get your Sagrantino grapes into the winery, obviously it's a very tannic, or can be a very tannic grape variety. What are you doing in the winery to soften those tannins?
I built my winery in 2011. So we start with the grape in 1992, but we build the new winery in 2011, so we are one of the most modern. So we can help more the white wine with the technology, with the cold system, touchscreen. While for the red, we must use a best oak in the market. We need to respect the soil, the plant, the harvest. We use 20 employees and pick everything, and pick white and red.
So which white grape variety are you talking about? Grichetto, Spoletino?
No, Trebbiano Spoletino, mm-hmm. Not Grichetto, because I was born in 2011 with a new winery. So consider that in Umbria, there are 235 producers of Grichetto. So why
add one more?
Why, exactly. So I start to produce immediately one Vermentino. I'm the first producer in Vermentino in Montefalco. Then I choose to put two different grapes, like Viognier and Chardonnay, to produce a more drinkable wine. I consider it is an entry-level wine. And then Trebbiano Spoletino, I believe a lot in this grape. My grandfather believed a lot. I would like to spend another words about my grandfather, that he has been the president of the cooperative Spoleto Ducale for 24 years. And my grandfather has been the president of this cooperative, and he know very well about this grape, Sagrantino, Trebbiano Spoletino. And so we invest the time and money in this new grape, Trebbiano Spoletino. I produce two different kind of product, one classic, so 90% in steel, and just a little 10% by wood, by hook. The new one, the Riserva, Trebbiano Spoletino Superiore Riserva del Cavalier Bartoloni, my grandfather, 2015, after 3 years, we put on the market, 12 months in a lier hook and 12 months in a bottle. And now it's available for the market. Few products, few bottles.
Is your grandfather still alive?
No, unfortunately no, 95 years old in 2015.
And your dad?
My dad is alive, but my dad have another company.
Is he happy with what you're doing?
Absolutely, yes.
Does he like drinking your wines? He may not do. He may not. Oh, well,
No.
Paolo's wine is terrible.
No. I'm trying to drink some bottle when I am at home, to drink some Sicily, some Veneto. My grandfather, no, I want mine product. My wine.
So what about the market? I mean, obviously you actually, your family connections with the Spoletino, for example, grape, you know, obviously for you that's such a big thing. How receptive are people in the market when you travel around the world as you do, presenting this white wine that probably many people have never ever heard of? It's a very local, it's a local grape in Umbria to a particular part of Umbria, and you're turning up with Spoletino like, what on earth are you trying to sell us?
I am agree with you. The problem is the name. Trebbiano in Italy is famous for a bad wine.
It's a dirty word, yeah. So you go into the market with Spoletino. I think it's a great name. Anyway, you go into the market, and how easy is it for you to sell?
Now, after 4 or 5 years that I produce Trebbiano Spoletino, honestly, now in the 16, in the 17, and now in the new years, I have the order from Hong Kong, from Miami, from Toronto, from Holland, and before, zero.
Is that just to be cynical, is that just because they want, you know, everybody knows Chardonnay, everyone's bored of Chardonnay and Sauvignon, they think, ah, we have a white wine with a name nobody's ever heard of, even if it tastes like shit, we're going to, Spoletino, it's the new Chardonnay. Or they're saying, actually, no, this is really good.
When the importer taste the Trebbiano Spoletino, change immediately the thinking about this wine.
And what are the aromas? What are, if we smell a glass of Spoletino, Trebbiano Spoletino?
Peach, a little bit of apricot.
So yellow fruit.
Yellow fruit in the minerality. The acidity is very high, at 7 point per liter. The final, you can smell the Helmond. And now, today evening, we taste with another journalist the 13, 14, 15, 16. The 13, it's amazing.
When the wine ages a little bit in bottle, how do the flavors change? So you see, you have these peachy flavors when it's a very fresh young wine. After a few years in bottles, how does the peach? What does the peach? Is the peach still there, or does it change to something more buttery?
More buttery, like for Riesling undercarbons. The Riesling is very famous, you know, for the aging.
Trebbiano Spoletino has got more body than Riesling, though, doesn't it?
More body,
it's
absolutely.
Got more,
yes.
More flesh.
No, 13.5, 14 alcohol, the standard percentage of alcohol. So have more shoulder, more structure. Yellow, rich, fruit.
What's a good food for the Trebbiano Spoletino?
Depend on the vintage, but we prefer in Umbria to pair with no seafood, but mushroom, truffles, pasta and truffles.
So would you have, like, when you say mushrooms, just mushrooms in padella, in a pan, or mushrooms with pasta?
Both. Mushrooms.
Or mushrooms with meat.
And pasta, absolutely. But also mushroom grilled. So now the young people, speak about 20, 25 years, would like to drink the white wine before the dinner. So it is good also for aperitif.
And what about let's talk about your reds. What about your Sagrantino?
Now it's available at 12. The 12 is very round, approachable.
Why? Because it was a warm vintage.
A warm vintage.
So the tannins were ripe.
Yes, absolutely. Today, during the vertical testing, the 9 is still young.
That's another hot vintage, isn't it?
The 10 is same, like the 12. more younger, it's ready.
When you're selling Sagrantino, is it a difficult wine to sell, or have you spent years, you know, cultivating a market where people understand what, when they buy a bottle of Sagrantino, whether they're selling one on, say, in a restaurant, they know exactly what Sagrantino is and what food it should go with?
It was, and it is, quite difficult to sell the Sagrantino because somebody believe that it is an undrinkable wine, too much tannin. No, now we are herbal together with the know-how, with the timing of the harvest.
So when you talk about with the know-how, what sort of technology or data are you working to decide when to pick Sagrantino at the time when it will give you the softest tannins and the smoothest wine? What are you doing?
We must wait not 3 or 4 years before to sail, like the legislation say does, but more. 5 or 6 is necessary. I put in the market now the 12, so after 6 years. And then the know-how mean the timing of harvest, the chemical analysis of the grape and in the winery. So we check and control each day phenolic, acidity, everything, the alcohol, the fermentation. We follow fermentation every day. So then we need to use the good oak, not the third, fourth uses. So we need to invest this grape.
So you're saying you should use more new oak rather than older wood? Is that because the new oak has more air in it, more so that there's more chance that the tannin, it will soften the tannins? Like older oak is going to have less of an effect softening the tannins, polymerizing the tannins, than the new oak, you know, making those jagged tannins join up and make smoother chains that taste smoother in the mouth.
I use 4 different barrels, mm-hmm. Austrian, French, American and Italy, with 4 different sites: 225 liters, 700 liters, 1000 liters and 2500 liters. So I have not 4 but 8 different products from one vintages. So now in my winery you can find the 15 in 4 different barrels
and 4 different
four
sizes.
Different sizes. I have 8 different tasting. And the beautiful of our job is that to produce every year different wines. We can help with a hook, okay?
But which ones are working best for you? Is it the larger size ones or the smaller size ones? Is it the origin of the oak, the French versus the American? The American give a bit more of a rough...
Yes, yeah. More vanilla, more chocolate. But for this reason, I have only a few barrels from America. Maybe 10. And so with this more varietal of hook, we can produce a different style. The style is the same during the year, but we can follow the vintages and the weather. I'm trying to do something different from the other producer. We are young, still young. We need to have some new idea, concept of style, new business of marketing.
What would your marketing idea for Sagrantino be? The world's most tanned red?
I'm very poor because I'm not famous in the world.
Will be if you come up with an idea on the podcast and it works. You'll be well famous.
I hope that you can buy some bottles. We invest in the marketing, like first of all in the fair, so we need to go in Italy, provine, and then we need to move. So the next Tuesday I will go in New York City and in Florida, and then in Washington DC to promote our wine with a wine dinner, with a in the wine shop or in the restaurant.
So when you're doing like wine dinners, you're as thin as a rake, but you must do lots of these dinners. When you go for these dinners, what food do you think is going to work best with your Sagrantino if you're in America, for example? Is it just a classic huge steak?
The T-bone steak?
The T-bone, yeah, the Fiorentino.
The T-bone steak can be good, but the lamb.
Why is lamb good? Because it's sweeter tasting. You like lamb, don't you? You're smiling when you said lamb. You didn't say that when you said beef.
Are you able to cook the lamb?
It's not easy.
Macerate with vinegar or with the milk, depends. Somebody like the wild boar, stew wild boar, is perfect with the Sagrantino. But it's not common.
In New York. Or Los Angeles.
Or
Florida.
In Tokyo. The lamb is more common.
What about for vegetarians? I mean, most people that I've spoken to, when we talk about Sagrantino, they always talk about dishes that go with it in the main will have some meat component. Which dish would match Sagrantino that is vegetarian?
I'm not a good chef, but...
Improvise.
Here, the most simple vegetables that we eat is the spinach, garlic, and the pepper, chili pepper, mm-hmm. garlic, and spinach have this bitter final that can be good with the Sagrantino.
That's interesting. Yeah, makes sense, yeah.
A lot of clients in the restaurant order beef and spinach or wild herbs. Can be absolutely good with red wine like the Sagrantino. It's a bitter vegetable.
What about just a bowl of pasta that isn't with a meat sauce on it? Just a bowl of pasta, either with aglio olio, peperoncino, so pasta with a bit of garlic and oil and chili pepper?
With the Sagrantino?
Yeah.
Bah, matriciana. It's better.
Okay, that's not quite vegetarian. That's got pancetta, no?
Pancetta, and tomato. Also the carbonara. Carbonara for the vegan. So we can use the saffron and the zucchini.
What about eggplant? Aubergine? Like aubergine with some olive oil on top with maybe a bit of garlic, some herbs.
Yeah. You need to use real olive oil.
Okay. Well, your olive oil, yeah?
I have 26 hectares of olive trees.
Is the olive oil from where in Umbria, is it more spicy than other areas? What's the difference between an olive oil from Umbria compared to one from, say, Liguria, which is famous for olive oil, and one from Tuscany or Sicily? What are the differences?
And Puglia. Puglia maybe is the stronger, yeah. Spicy. In Umbria, it's quite a bit, because we have our indigenous varietal Moraiolo in Umbria, Coratina in Puglia, and this is the two most polyphenols olives grape in the world.
So does that make them, that quotes, the healthiest, because they have these polyphenols?
Yeah. The producers of olive oil produce a little niche of Moraiolo, but the most common product is the blend. Moraiolo, Lecino, and Frantoio.
What does the Moraiolo give? Is it very spicy? Or?
Yeah, spicy, but can be good with a vegetable, with a salad, with a stick. Moraiolo in pure is better.
So what about if you just had a glass of Sagrantino? I like having a glass of red wine sometimes just with like a bruschetta, so a bit of toasted bread with some olive oil on, possibly a tiny bit of garlic. Is Sagrantino good for that?
But you add...
You just say yes. Just say you'll say all these yes, anything but, you know, Sagrantino with a huge great steak, you know, that's what everyone says, you know, oh, Sagrantino, steak.
No, only steak. I tell you, with a stew, lamb,
okay, that's not vegetarian though, is it?
Vegetarian, yes, absolutely. No, the bruschetta without garlic,
yeah,
is better.
Okay, just oil.
Yeah.
Just Moraiolo.
Oil and salt.
Umbrian oil and a bit of salt.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Very simple.
Go to taste. Why not? The grilled vegetables on the fire. Not zucchini, but mushroom.
Yeah, mushrooms, yeah. What are the mushrooms you get? Obviously, Umbria is quite the green heart of Italy, so it's got wonderful forests, so it does get rainfall. What are the mushrooms like that come from the forest? What kind of mushrooms do you get? Do you get very small ones or very big ones?
The classic porcini, but also the nice manine, like the hand on the fire, become black with olive oil and salt. It's fantastic. With this bitter smell, it's fantastic with the Sagrantino.
Yeah, okay, so you're at Lecimate. What is your overall production?
80,000 bottles.
In everything?
The yes, Sagrantino, all together, Sagrantino.
Tabiano Spoletino.
Tabiano Spoletino, the rosé with the Sagrantino.
You make a Sagrantino rosé?
Yeah.
So that's a bled style, yeah? You make a white Sagrantino?
White, we produce the rosé Sagrantino from Sagrantino 100%, and we harvest 1 month before the classic harvest in October, so we start in 15 September, and we put immediately in the chiller tube, 2 degrees the temperature, and 2 hours in the press machine.
So it's very, very lightly pink.
Light pink, yes. And
do you ferment that dry? Is it dry?
It's dry, but depends of the vintage. The 16 now is available on the market. It's fantastic for aperitif. It's very drinkable. 13 alcohol, so not 15 like for the red. It's very approachable to start the dishes.
Does it taste tannic though? I know that's a stupid question, but you obviously got a very tannic grape, and the sensation is that anything that has the word Sagrantino anywhere near it will taste tannic and tough. What is the rosé? Is it very refreshing, easy fruit?
With 2 hours on the skin, yes. Yeah. It's very, very simple. With a less tannin, you can drink with the grilled fish or to start appetizer. It's very nice, the 16.
What does it smell of, though, the rosé? Often rosés don't have a lot of smell.
Strawberry, cherry, red fruit, absolutely, but more strawberry and cherry. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, Leche Mate, it was a religious site. Church site, and now we're talking about rosé.
We don't have the church, unfortunately, in the winery.
That's okay, that's good. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the pasito. How do you make your pasito?
My pasito, I believe, is very versatile. You can start with some cheese, and you can drink at the end of the meal.
So how sweet is it then, this pasito?
My pasito have a 14.5 alcohol, 105 grams per liter of sugar, nice acidity. So the combination between acidity, alcohol and tannin, I believe it's good.
Is that very popular in Florida, that one?
Not very popular, but prefer maybe the white version, like Pantelleria. Pasito in our winery, it's very few. We produce, my winery produce 1,300 bottles, maybe altogether 40,000 bottles altogether.
So what would you drink the pasito with, you personally?
I prefer at the end, like in French, with the cheese.
So at the end of the meal?
At the end of the meal with the cheese. Or with a 70% dark chocolate.
Really? From Perugia?
Not necessary.
It's famous for chocolate, from, which is just up the road, isn't it?
From Ecuador too. But Perugia, yes, of course. The Perugina, 70-75% of cacao. Dark chocolate cacao.
Paolo Bartoloni, thanks very much for telling us today about Leche Mate, a winery in Umbria with a very long history, a religious history, and now you are an evangelist for Sagrantino,
I hope,
and Spoletino all over the world. Nice to see you.
Thank you very much, Monte. Thank you. Grazie.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.